Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
Ever get that, like, sinking feeling? When you're staring at an essay question on an exam, you know you studied, but suddenly your mind's blank.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, how do I even start to answer this thing? Well, today we're doing a deep dive into this guide by Dr. Joseph Kassa. It's all about conquering those exam essays.
Yeah.
And the biggest mistakes students make, which he says, are not about knowledge. It's about answering the right questions.
That's a really interesting point.
Right. Which is such a good point because I feel like that's where I always struggled.
Yeah.
It's like, I know this stuff, but how do I put it on the page?
Exactly.
So this could be the key to, like, actually acing those exams.
I think so, yeah. You know, it's fascinating how often students actually know the material, but then they struggle to kind of apply it to the specific question.
Right.
And that's really what Dr. Kassa is talking about. It's about strategy, not just memorization.
Right. So I'm curious about this first mistake he highlights, which is not answering the question or even parts of it. How does that happen when you've supposedly prepped for the exam?
Oh, exam pressure can do weird things.
Oh, yeah.
To even the most prepared student.
Yeah.
So, you know, imagine a question asks for, let's say, the benefits and drawbacks of some theory. And you only talk about the good stuff. Well, yeah. You've missed half the question, essentially.
Right.
Those are points just gone.
Yeah. That's a painful mistake to make. Ouch.
It is. It is.
So to combat this, he mentions this technique called stall, which sounds a little, I don't know.
A little unusual.
Yeah. What's that about?
Yeah. Stall stands for stop, think, ask, look, and list.
Okay.
And it's basically, you know, it's a simple framework, really, to encourage that careful reading and breaking down those sometimes really complex exam questions.
Yeah.
So first, you stop, you know, take a breath, avoid that initial panic.
Right.
Then think, analyze what's actually being asked, not what you hope it is.
Right.
Very important distinction.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. It's like taking that moment to recenter yourself before you actually dive in.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Then you ask yourself, do I understand every term here? You know, no shame in mentally defining things for yourself.
Right.
If you need to.
Yeah.
Next, you look for those key words, the ones that kind of give away what the examiner's really looking for.
Uh-huh.
And finally, list. List those key points that you need to hit in your answer.
So it's almost like a pre-writing checklist.
It is. It is. Almost like that.
So stall helps make sure you're on the right track from the beginning.
Right. From the start. Yeah.
That's a great starting point.
Yeah.
Okay. But then he also talks about this compliance matrix, which sounds kind of intimidating.
It does sound a bit technical, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's actually pretty straightforward. Think of it as a simple checklist, really, for your essay. You know, you list the subparts of the question, and then you track where in your essay you actually addressed each one. So that ensures that you haven't missed any of those crucial points, and it gives you a way to sort of self-assess before you hand in your exam.
So it's like a safety net to catch any potential oversights before it's too late.
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay, so mistake number one is all about not fully grasping the question.
Right.
But then there's this second mistake he talks about, which is answering things that you weren't asked. Which isn't more information always better? Like, show off that knowledge.
Here's the thing. Providing extra information that wasn't actually requested can actually work against you.
Really?
It can, because it can waste precious time. And it can even bury your actual answer, making it harder for the examiner to actually find what they're looking for.
Oh, so even if the information's correct, it could still hurt your grade?
Potentially, yes.
That's a bit counterintuitive.
It is a bit.
Yeah.
But think about it this way. Imagine the question asks you to create, let's say, a concept of operations or a CoE and OPS for some specific system. Now, if you spend time defining what a CoE and OPS is, you're missing the point, right? The examiner is expecting that you already know that in order to be able to create one.
Right.
So you've wasted time explaining something that they already assume you knew.
Right. So it's about understanding what your audience, in this case, the examiner, already knows and expects.
Exactly.
It's not just about showing off all the facts you crammed in your brain.
Yeah, it's about demonstrating your ability to apply your knowledge in a targeted and relevant way.
Right.
Not just sort of throwing everything at the wall and hoping something sticks.
Right. And that actually makes me think about how we approach communication in general, not just exams. It's about meeting the needs of your audience, not just doing a data dump on them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how do we actually avoid these common pitfalls? Is there like a magic formula?
Well, a magic formula? Maybe not. But Dr. Kasser, he proposes a very practical solution, an answer template, kind of like a blueprint.
Ooh. Okay. A template.
Yeah. For crafting a response that's clear, concise, hits all the right points.
Okay, so tell me more. I love systems and structures.
Right.
Especially when it comes to something like exams, you know, that are so stressful.
Yeah, well, the beauty of this template is it's simple.
Okay.
You use headings taken directly from the question.
Okay.
So that way you make sure you've addressed each and every part.
Right, so it's like almost like having those, like, bullet points on a presentation slide.
Exactly. Exactly.
Keeps the audience on track.
Exactly. And here's a key tip. Use the exact wording from the question. Don't swap out like benefits for advantages.
Right, right.
Even if they seem like synonyms to you.
Yeah.
Examiners are often looking for those specific keywords.
Right. So it's about speaking their language.
Yeah.
Showing them that you understand the nuances of what they're asking.
Exactly.
So I can already see how this approach, it's so structured, it would help avoid those two big mistakes we talked about.
Yeah.
Keeps you focused, make sure you hit all the points the examiner is looking for.
Right.
It's like a double whammy of exam success.
Exactly.
But, okay, how does this actually work in practice? Does he give any examples?
He does. He uses this rather tricky question about pitfalls in engineering stakeholder requirements.
Okay.
To demonstrate how this template helps break it down and craft a comprehensive response.
Okay, walk me through that. I'm curious to see how this template would tackle something so complex.
All right. So first, you got to identify all the sub-questions hiding within the main question.
Right.
So in this example, you're asked to identify pitfalls, explain their causes, and propose mitigation strategies.
Oh, wow.
All while giving examples. So it's easy to get lost.
That sounds overwhelming. Just reading that question, be like, ah.
Exactly. And that's where the template comes in. So you create separate headings for each of those sub-questions, mirroring the exact language from the prompt.
Right.
So you'd have a heading for like major pitfalls, another for frequent errors, one for possible causes, and so on.
Got it.
And this acts as your roadmap, basically, keeps you from veering off course.
Okay, so it's like breaking down a massive project into like manageable chunks.
Exactly, exactly. Then under each heading, you basically write a mini essay that addresses that specific aspect. So for major pitfalls, you list and describe them. Again, using that exact language from the question.
Got it.
Under frequent errors, you do the same, linking everything back to the prompt.
Okay, so it sounds like this really forces you to engage with the question and make sure every sentence you write is relevant.
Exactly.
And purposeful. Okay. No more rambling.
No rambling, no going off on tangents. That's the beauty of it.
Right.
So by following this template, you automatically address those nuances in the question.
Right.
And avoid all that unnecessary fluff.
Okay, so this template sounds like a game changer for these essay exams.
Mm-hmm.
But does he address like how much time to spend on each part of the answer? Because time management's always my struggle.
Yeah, he does touch on that. And it actually ties back to those sub-questions.
Okay.
He suggests, you know, look at the point value assigned to each part.
Mm-hmm.
Use that as a guide for how much time to allocate.
Oh, that's so smart.
So if one part's worth 5 points, another one's worth 10,
right,
you know where to focus.
It's like creating a budget.
Exactly.
For your time during the exam.
Yeah, invest it wisely.
Yeah, so strategic.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel, I don't know, a lot more confident about tackling these essay questions now.
Good, good. That's the power of, you know, having a system.
Yeah.
It removes the guesswork.
Yeah.
You can approach the task with a clear plan.
Right.
But what are your thoughts so far? Anything in particular that stands out to you?
What really strikes me is this whole approach, it goes beyond just passing exams.
Uh-huh.
It's about, like, developing these essential communication skills that can be applied to so many areas of life.
Absolutely.
I mean, who hasn't struggled with like a rambling email or a presentation that missed the mark?
Yeah.
This framework could be like a game changer for all sorts of communication challenges.
I agree. Absolutely. What we're really talking about are those fundamental principles of effective communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, clarity, structure, understanding your audience.
Right.
These are skills that benefit us, you know, in countless ways, professionally and personally.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is Dr. Kasser, He highlights this other key element that I think often gets overlooked, and that's the power of using, you know, the exact language of the question.
Oh, he talks about that a lot. But why is that so important?
Well, using the examiner's exact language, it demonstrates a deep understanding.
Okay.
You know, you're not just vaguely familiar with the material. You've grasped the nuances. You can apply the terminology correctly.
So it's like you're speaking their language.
Yeah.
Showing them that you're on the same wavelength. You really get what they're asking.
Precisely. And it might seem like a small detail, but it can have a significant impact on how your answer is perceived.
You know, this reminds me of this one time when I used the word implications instead of consequences in an essay.
Oh, interesting.
And I thought they were like interchangeable, but my professor marked me down for it.
Wow.
Apparently, in that specific context, they weren't.
That's a perfect example. It really highlights the importance of, you know, paying close attention and mirroring it in your response.
Yeah.
It's a subtle way to show that you're paying attention and that you understand that specific terminology.
It's like, you know, those moments when you're trying to explain something to someone.
Yeah.
And you're like, I need to use the exact right words.
Right.
Because if I use the wrong term,
it can completely derail a conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this applies obviously not just to exams, but all sorts of communication.
Right. Whether you're writing a report, giving a presentation, or even just having a conversation, using that precise language,
right,
it ensures clarity,
yeah,
minimizes that risk of misinterpretations.
This whole conversation is making me realize how much thought goes into effective communication.
It really does.
It's not just about like getting the information out there. It's about packaging it the right way.
Absolutely.
So it resonates.
Yeah.
You know, it achieves your desired outcome.
Exactly. It's a skill worth mastering, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But let's not forget about Dr. Kasser's like secret weapon here.
Right.
The answer template.
Yeah, let's unpack that.
Now that we've covered kind of these crucial communication principles, I think it's time to dig into the template itself.
Yes.
Explore how it can be used to conquer different types of essay questions.
Yes, because there's those different types of essay questions, like the compare and contrast.
Right.
Or like the argumentative essays.
Exactly. Let's start with those compare and contrast essays. Remember those headings we talked about?
Uh-huh.
So in this case, you'd have similarities and differences.
Right.
Each one becomes like a mini essay.
Okay.
You know, highlighting where those subjects converge or diverge. Using evidence to back up your points, of course.
So you're essentially providing like this really structured back and forth.
Exactly.
Between those two subjects. So it's super clear for the examiner to see how they relate.
Exactly. No more jumbled paragraphs.
Yeah.
Trying to cram everything together.
Right, right. Okay, and then what about those argumentative essays?
Well, for those, your headings would be your key arguments. Again, each one supported by evidence, reasoning, you know, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
You might even include like a counter-argument section.
Oh, okay.
To show you've considered those opposing views.
Right.
Which can actually strengthen your position.
Okay, so it's not just like blindly arguing your point. It's showing that you've actually thought critically.
Exactly. Thinking critically is key here.
Yeah.
And the beauty of this template is it encourages that kind of deeper engagement. It helps you break down complex ideas, organize your thoughts, present them in a clear, compelling way.
It's like having this mental scaffold almost.
Yeah.
To support your ideas and make sure they're all like logically connected.
Yeah.
And the best part is this approach, like we've kind of been hinting at, can be applied to way more than just exams.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've been talking about essay writing, but these principles, you know, clarity, structure, understanding your audience,
right,
those are essential for any form of communication.
Right.
So whether you're writing a report, crafting an email, even just having a conversation,
yeah,
these skills can really make you a more effective communicator.
This has been such an eye-opening deep dive. I'm already like, my brain's going, how can I apply this to my own work?
Yeah.
To how I communicate.
Exactly.
It's not just about like acing exams. It's about becoming a more confident, articulate communicator.
Absolutely. That's the real takeaway here. Dr. Kasser's guide, it gives us the tools to not only conquer those dreaded essay questions, but also to elevate our communication in all areas of life.
So for our listeners out there, remember, it's not just about what you know, but how you apply it. Embrace structure, clarity, and always consider your audience. And don't forget about that answer template. It might just be your secret weapon.
It can be.
For success. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group, Tackling Complex Problems. Take care.